This is so heavy, huh? Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Mishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashto Terajata Sri Srimad Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sekho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adigor Bhaktivinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shyam Kundradha Kundgiri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrinda Devi Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Mathura Dham Ki Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Shri Jagannath Paridham Ki Shri Dwarka Paridham Ki Shri Ayodhya Paridham Ki Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Mandir Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol Samaveta Bhaktivindaki, Samaveta Bhaktivindaki, Samaveta Bhaktivindaki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Namaham Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, thank you. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narotamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudhirayet nashta praeshu abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam, Skanda 10, Adhyaya 1, Shloka 43. Jyotiryatayodaka Partha Vishvadhas. Because there's a visarga at the end of the D, it merges with the S. Actually, there's no break, but we make a break for ease of pronunciation. So when that sandhi happens, it becomes vadas. Jyotiryatayodaka Parthiveshvadhas. Samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshvaso puman guneshu ranaguranu raganugato vimuhyati guneshu raganugato vimuhyati. See, these lines at the end of a sentence, one line or two lines, means that's where the break is. Otherwise, there's not supposed to be a break. And there's no separation. Like in the second line, it shows a separation. But actually, there is no separation. The language is written like that. It's all together. That's why they have this rule of coalescence, sandhi. Rule means it's the way the language is. It's an observation. And it's irregular not to be joined together. But now, because manda sumanda matayaha jyotir yataiva odaka parthi veshvadhas samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshvasau puman guneshu raghanugato vimuhyati. Jyotir yataivodaka parthi veshvadas samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshvaso puman guneshu raganugato vimuhyati. Jyotiryatayodaka parthi veshvadhas samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshvaso puman guneshu rana raganugato vimuhyati. Jyotir yataivodaka parthi veshvadhas samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshvaso puman guneshu ranhan raganugato vimuhyati. Jyotir yataivo daka parti veshvadhas samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshvaso puman guneshu raganugato vimuhyati. Jyotir yataivo daka parti veshvadhas samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshvaso puman guneshu raganugato vimuhyati. Anyone else? Nobody else? Harkoi? You want to recite the verse? Jyotir yataivo daka parti veshvadhas samhira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshva saupuman guneshu raganugato vimuhyati padapataha jyotihi. The luminaries in the sky, such as the sun, the moon and the stars, yata, as, eva, indeed, udaka, in water, partiveshu, or in other liquids like oil, adaha, directly, samira vega anugatam, being forced by the movements of the wind, vibhavyate, appear in different shapes, evam, in this way, swamaya rachiteshu, in the situation created by one's mental concoctions. Asau, the living entity, puman, person, guneshu, in the material world manifested by the modes of nature. Raga anugataha, according to his attachment, vimuhyati, becomes bewildered by identification. This is a whopper today too, a whopper purport, 3 pages. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the luminaries in the sky, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars, are reflected in liquids like oil or water, they appear to be of different shapes, sometimes round, sometimes long, and so on, because of the movements of the wind. Similarly, when the living entity, the soul, is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, he accepts various manifestations as his own identity because of ignorance. In other words, one is bewildered by mental concoctions because of agitation from the modes of material nature. Excuse me, from the material modes of nature. Purport. Okay, get ready for a long one. Should I read fast or should I read slow? Slow? Okay. This verse gives a very good example by which to understand the different positions of the eternal soul in the material world and how the soul takes on different bodies. Dehantara praptihi. Is that okay? It's not too fast? There's the Voice of America used to have special English. They called it, I used to listen sometimes to their radio, and they would, this is how they would do it. The moon is stationary and is one. But when it is reflected in water or oil, it appears to take different shapes because of the movements of the wind. That's special English. Is that slow? Right? That's good. Similarly, the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. But when put into the material modes of nature, it takes different bodies, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, a dog, a tree, and so on. By the influence of Maya, the illusory potency of the supreme personality of Godhead, the living entity thinks that he is this person, that person, American, Indian, cat, dog, tree, or whatever. This is called Maya. When one is freed from this bewilderment and understands that the soul does not belong to any shape of this material world, one is situated on the spiritual platform Brahma-bhuta. This realization is sometimes explained as nirakar, or formlessness. This formlessness, however, does not mean that the soul has no form. The soul has form, but the external agitating form he has acquired because of material contamination is false. Similarly, God is also described as nirakar, which means that God has no material form, but is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. The living entity is part and parcel of the supreme Satchit Ananda Vigraha, but his material forms are temporary or illusory. Both the living entity and the Supreme Lord have original spiritual forms, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, but the Lord, the Supreme, does not change his form. The Lord appears as he is, whereas the living entity appears because material nature forces him to accept different forms. When the living entity receives these different forms, he identifies with them and not with his original spiritual form. As soon as the living entity returns to his original spiritual form and understanding, he immediately surrenders to the supreme form, the personality of Godhead. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. When the living entity, after many, many births in different forms, returns to his original form of Krishna consciousness, he immediately surrenders unto the lotus feet of the supreme form, Krishna. This is liberation. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Surrender unto the supreme form is the result of bhakti. This bhakti, or understanding of one's own position, is the complete liberation. As long as one is under an impersonal understanding of the absolute truth, he is not in pure knowledge, but must still struggle for pure knowledge. Klesho dikataras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam. Bhagavad Gita 12:5. Although one may be spiritually advanced, If one is attached to the impersonal feature of the absolute truth, one must still work very hard, as indicated by the words klesho adhikataraha, which mean greater suffering. A devotee, however, easily attains his original position as a spiritual form and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form. Krishna himself explains the forms of the living entities in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he clearly says to Arjuna that he, Arjuna, and all other living entities who were previously in their original forms are separate individual identities. They were individuals in the past, they are now situated in individuality, and in the future they will all continue to maintain their individual forms. The only difference is that the conditioned living entity appears in various material forms, whereas Krishna appears in his original spiritual form. Unfortunately, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge think that Krishna is like one of them, and that his form is like their material forms. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanumashritam. Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Krishna is never puffed up by material knowledge and is therefore called achuta, whereas the living entities fall down and are agitated by material nature. This is the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entities. In this connection, it is to be noted that Vasudeva, who was situated in a transcendental position, advised Kamsa not to further commit sinful activities. Kamsa, a representative of the demons, was always ready to kill Krishna or God, whereas Vasudeva represents a transcendentally situated person to whom Krishna is born. Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. Vasudeva wanted his brother-in-law Kamsa to refrain from the sinful act of killing his sister, since the result of being agitated by material nature would be that Kamsa would have to accept a body in which to suffer again and again. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4, Rishabdev also says, Nasadhu manye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshada asha dehaha. As long as the living entity is entangled in the fruitive activities of so-called happiness and distress, he will receive a particular type of body in which to endure the three kinds of suffering due to material nature: tritapa, yantrana. An intelligent person, therefore, must free himself from the influence of the three modes of material nature and revive his original spiritual body by engaging in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the service of the Supreme Person, Krishna. As long as one is materially attached, one must accept the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. One is therefore advised that an intelligent person, instead of being entangled in so-called good and bad fruitive activities, should engage his life in advancing in Krishna consciousness, so that instead of accepting another material body, tekva deham punarjanmanaiti, he will return home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. That was a doozy, a whopper. Sorry, pardon the colloquial American English expressions. Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. Killing is an everyday affair in the material world, right? So many animals are being killed in the slaughterhouses. And as I mentioned yesterday, that was last night. So many human beings are being killed every day. Where are they being killed? That's the question. To wake all of you up, where are human beings being killed like mosquitoes? You know the answer, don't you? Can't say. Arabia. Specifically, you're right, Yemen. Who's dropping the bombs on Yemen? Saudi Arabia. And where are the bombs made? Right here in the good old USA. Yeah. And right here in the good old USA, they're killing animals. People think they're killing them in Chicago. They're not. You know where the slaughterhouses went? Omaha, Nebraska. It's closer to where the cows are grazed in the open fields. Here they grow corn to feed those cows. So killing is every day. Unknowingly we're killing. When we drive our car, how many bugs are killed? We can't count. There's a quote from Prabhupada, right? That Arjuna was killing for Krishna in the battlefield. We say we shouldn't kill animals, but Krishna and Arjuna killed a lot of animals. Where? Question, wake you all up. In the forest. Which forest? You're right, again. Kandavaprastha. That's in the 10th canto. The Dashama Skanda, 10th Skanda of the Bhagavatam. And then, after killing the animals, what did they do? They set fire to the forest. Agni was hungry. That's what it says there. So there's demigods mentioned here in the purport. It's one of the forms, one of the bodies that we get in the material world. And we have to quote the same verse in Gita again and again. Karana guna sangasya sad asad yoni janmasu. You get a good or a bad birth. The demigod is a good birth. Being born in a rich man, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe. Suchinam, pure. Those who study the Vedas, Brahmanas. Srimatam, wealthy. Wealth can be in any society, not only Vedic society, non-Vedic society. The non-Vedic society, there is no Suchinam. Suchinam is Bahuvachanam. Suchi meaning clean. Suchinam of the clean. Genitive, plural. But we never think of it like that. Suchinam, those who are pure. So those who are pure, Hitler said the Germans are pure, right? By Janma. And we say those who are born in the family of Brahmanas got a good birth, sad yoni. Why? Because they study Vedas. They're following Vedic culture. They don't unnecessarily kill animals. Our ideology of Krishna consciousness is that animal killing is in the mode of ignorance, tamasic. And adho gachanti tamasaha. Those who are tamasic go down. Those who are in the mode of ignorance go down. So there's no Suchinam among the Malechas and Yavanas or Swapakas. You know Swapaka? Dog cooker, actually. Literally, Paka. Paka is kitchen. Pakashala, the kitchen. Those who eat dogs, those who eat meat, they are not suci. They're asuci because they're unclean, because they're touching the mode of ignorance. Ignorance means uncleanliness, right? And the utmost uncleanliness is illicit sex. Specifically those who contact diseases because of multiple sex. And these diseases are killing them, right? AIDS. There's other diseases. There's a whole lot. What are they called? STDs, right? You've heard that. You heard that? No? You haven't heard? Sunil, you heard that? STD? You know what is STD? STD. You know what is STD? You know what is
sexually transmitted disease, STD. So that is that's the fruit of uncleanliness. It seems like people who eat meat are healthy. It seems like that, right? They got big bodies. Not everybody. They're obese. But they're unclean because they're touching food that's in the mode of ignorance. Same for onions and garlic. It's in the mode of ignorance. Tamasic ahar. So those who are unclean, asuchihi, adaha gacchanti, they go down. So ahar, food, is very important. Aharas trapi sarvasya bhavati priyaha. What is it? Aharas trapi sarvasya something bhavati priyaha. I'm forgetting the word. And then it's sattva rajas tamas. Sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. What do the demigods eat? It's never discussed. The oblations into the fire. But they're already on a higher platform. They're already on the topmost platform in the material world. Actually, there are different planets, right? There's not one planet. Indra Swarga is only one of the planets. What are the other planets? There's Pitri Loka, Surendra Lokam, the planet of Indra, the planet of the ancestors, Tapaloka, where those who perform austerities go. And then the topmost of all these higher planets, pardon? Brahmaloka, the planet of Lord Brahma, where it's considered that they will get liberation, those who attain the Brahmaloka. Those who are yogis, perfect yogis, they go to the Brahmaloka or the Tapaloka. This is described in the Puranas. There are stories of different sages. So they're different bodies. But the real aim is to get rid of the bhavi. Tyaktva deham punar janma na iti. There should not be another body. There should not be another birth, another janma. Bahunam janmanam, bahuni mevyatitani janmani. The ideology of Vedas is that the soul has to suffer in the material world, birth after birth. Vedanta is the science of moksha, of getting liberation. Moksha dharma. Moksha dharma. There is a methodology to obtain moksha. People aren't interested. They don't believe it. There's no moksha. There's no liberation. They don't strive. The different dharmas in brief, at least in one verse in the Bhagavatam, right? Dana dharman, the dharma of charity. Raja dharman, the dharma of ruling the kingdom. Moksha dharman, and the dharma of obtaining liberation. Vibhagashaha, by division. Stri dharman, the dharma of women. Bhagavat dharman, the dharma of devotees. Dharma is translated as duty, duties. Ashesha vyasa yogataha. Bhishma Dev explained all of this to Yudhishthir when he was in his final moments, lying on a bed of arrows in Kurukshetra. And Lord Krishna himself took Yudhishthir to Bhishma to hear these instructions. It's a vast science. This is a summary of the science. It is part of the science. Bhagavat is called Paramahamsa Samhita for the topmost persons. But as we see, very few people are interested to hear Bhagavat. Otherwise, this room would be filled up. There's enough people. There's enough people here in the city that this room should be filled every day. Right? Should be. They're not interested. They don't want to hear. They want artha and kama, economic development and sense gratification. The result of that, without knowing moksha dharma, how to get liberated, is you may be born as a dog or a hog. So Prabhupada was lecturing in the University of California, and he pointed this out, that if you don't follow this path of Krishna consciousness, you might be born as a hog in your next life. So one of the students raised his hand. He said, "What's wrong with the life of a hog?" So Prabhupada said, you want to become a hog? A hog is lying all day in dirt and eating defecation. Basically, that's a curse to be born as a hog. No, the student said. The hog is enjoying his life. I think that there's nothing wrong in being born as a hog. So Prabhupada said, you have my blessings to be born as a hog. And then later on, Prabhupada was telling us, he on a morning walk, I was present, and he said, just see, they are so hard-hearted. Hard-hearted, he used this expression. But people are ignorant. Besides hard-hearted, they don't understand that they're not a hog or a dog or a cat or a human being, but they're an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivar Swarup Hoy, Krishna Nitya Das. The actual form of the soul is to serve the Supreme Lord. Although he has unlimited forms and unlimited pastimes, but somewhere in one of those pastimes, our eternal soul can serve him eternally and be happy. So Satchit Ananda, eternal consciousness and bliss, is not in this world, it's in that world. Somehow we fell here. Somehow we're bound up. We have different shapes and forms. We're attached to these forms. We're not sitting on a fast unto death. Parikshit sat on a fast unto death, not because he wanted to die, but because he was cursed to die, and he believed that the curse would actually be fulfilled. And so he gave up all the material attachments and only heard the stories of Krishna. The different stories of the, here all the incarnations and the kings who were devotees, the stories are described. Why should we tell any other story? Why should we tell any other story? When there's so many stories of Krishna to tell, right? Like the begging story we were talking about. Why should Krishna be a beggar when he has everything? And why should his devotees, the Brahmins and the cowherd boys, well, Madhu Mangal is, those Brahmins were separate and Madhu Mangal was one of the cowherd boys. But why should they go begging from the Brahmanas? It's a transcendental pastime. They went to the Brahmanas. Brahmanas said, no, we're not giving you anything. Right? So one who gives in charity is Udhar. Udhara, what does that mean? Udhara, charitable, open-hearted. And one who doesn't, who's selfish and miserly, kripana. The brahmanas in this case were kripanas. And later on they lamented. So this is one pastime. And it's glorified, right? Jaya Jaya Dvija Patni. Jaya Dvija Patni? I can't remember the whole offhand in the song. All glories to the wives of the Brahmanas, because later on when the cowherd boys came back to Krishna and they were crying, that, you know, the brahmanas didn't give us anything and we're hungry. What should we do? Okay, go to their wives. They are bhaktas. And when they went, those wives left everything and brought all the food meant for the yajna to Krishna. So Krishna is called Yajneshwara, the Lord of all yajnas. Yogeshwara, in the last verse of Gita, Lord of yogis, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno, Yatra Partha Dhanurdharaha. There's a lot of stories to be remembered. Why? They're transcendental. Because as Prabhupada mentions in his purport today, when the Lord comes, when Krishna himself, Vishnu, comes in the material world, that form is not a material form. That is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. 3-4 times Prabhupada wrote here in the purport, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. But if we tell some mundane story, a couple days ago I told a couple mundane stories. Somebody was a thief as a child, and in jail he studied the law and he became a lawyer. Right? I told that story. How will that story help us to get liberated? It won't. But there are many stories, right? Is it Shrotra, what is it? There's a verse in the Bhagavatam. Shrotra Vyadini Rajendra Rinam Santi Sahasrashaha. O King Parikshit, Shrotra Vyadini, there are so many things to hear. Hey Rajendra, so many things to hear. Shrotra Vyadini Rajendra Rinam Santi, there are many, many humans. Sahasrashaha Rinam Santi, there are men. Sahasrashaha, thousands. Apashyatam atmatattvam, they don't see the atmatattva, the truth of the soul. Apashyatam, they don't see. Griheshu grihamedinam, they're householders. In the homes of the householders, people are busy with the household affairs. How can they think of Krishna? How can they think of moksha? They forget. And then to pass the time, there are so many games, right? Now it's video games. We saw a video game yesterday. My kids are also playing these video games. The whole world is, right? It's Maya is like that. Mama Maya Duratyaya. This Maya is very powerful. Maya is meant so that we forget about Krishna, and the Bhagavatam is meant to remember Krishna. But the living Kamsa doesn't know anything about Krishna. Vasudeva and Devaki are devotees who, because of 50,000 years of austerities, standing on one foot, no food or drink, no eating or drinking. How is that possible? How is it possible for 50,000 years? It's very difficult to understand. Hiranyakashipu also did it, but his aim was not to have Krishna as his son. His aim was to become Krishna, to become God. Did he become God? No. And Vasudeva and Devaki got Krishna as their son. So that's a kind of extraordinary example of devotion. So where are we and where are they? We have a long way to go. A long way to go. To give up the material attachments, the subtle psychological attachments to our, what we call the comfort zone, what we like. For instance, blue jeans, Prabhu. Today you're the exceptional case. Usually most of the people here are in... Oh, I maybe I spoke too soon. Well, we have leaders of our own institution that are saying to take off our dhotis. So you're following them. But Prabhupada said this is a dress of Vaikuntha. Krishna wore this. What is Krishna called? Pitavasasaha. That's yellow. Kosheya. Kosheya is silk. Kosheya Vastram. Description of Krishna, I'm forgetting now. There's a verse, right? Pitambara. He's covered in yellow. Pitambara. This is the Vaikuntha dress. So this is part of moksha dharma. Moksha dharma means concentrating on Krishna. Krishna consciousness. Krishna was killing, right? Here in the purport it says Krishna, Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. And then I remembered Krishna was killing animals and Krishna killed so many demons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam. Those who are rascals, my aim of my incarnation is to kill them. Vinash. Vinash means destruction. Vinashaya chadushkritam. But that's, he did it wearing a dhoti. He didn't have to put on a Western military uniform and say, let's charge into the battlefield now. With his dhoti, with his sword, what did he have? Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. He killed the demons. Wow, that's a long way from, or is it? That's the aim of all this. The aim of breaking free from the material modes, the nirakar Prabhupada talked about, he describes as the Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Nirakar means no material form. That's one interpretation. The Mayavadis say nirakar, no form. Akar means form. Actually, karav is to do, to make. Akar, not made. Nirakar, no form, not made. Right? Kara, kri, datu, there's a verbal root, kri or kru, however you pronounce it, which is the root of action, karma. And so akar, without doing, without form. The Sachit Ananda Vigraha is not a material form. Even though we have so many material forms in this world, we are human forms. There are so many here. We can see so many different human bodies. What to speak of the dogs, the hogs, the birds? There are people right out with the binoculars looking for the birds. I took a walk in a park near Washington, D.C., where my son is. And they have a lake, and then, you know, the lady had the binoculars. I said, did you see any birds? Well, yeah, some. They're, you know, bird watchers, right? They're called bird watchers. They spend their time looking for the different shapes and forms of the birds. So there's so many forms. We can go from one form to the other. The hippies, in those days, they latched onto that concept of transmigration, but they thought that if they take intoxication, they could transmigrate. But that was a mistaken concept. Transmigration is not the effect of an artificial intoxicant or a chemical composition, because the soul is beyond chemicals. The soul is not material. That's the point. Sachit Ananda is not material. The material is the opposite. Asat, it is not eternal. Achit, it is dead matter. And Nirananda, there is no bliss. There is no bliss in this microphone. You know, when was the last time you saw a microphone dancing in the kirtan on its own? In animation, they do all that stuff. And that's artificial. Dead matter is dead matter. And actually our bodies are the same dead matter. But because of the Atma, the body is alive. The body can do so many different things. Okay, I'm going to end here. Yes, Prabhu, question time. Mike. Thank you. I mean, muchas gracias.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class.
Thank you for the thank you.
Like, is Lord Krishna's flute his expansion or is it a jiva?
Oh, you got me. There is some statement about, I think there are jivas who are serving Krishna, but I may be wrong. We have to, it's a research question because I offhand I don't have the pramanam, the evidence to tell you, but what I think, what I remember reading is that, you know, what I remember from my reading is that it's a, you know, could be an expansion of Balaram also. Is that it? That's what you, it could be Balaram. Rama means pleasure. So to give Krishna pleasure, he takes, which is an expansion of Krishna because Balaram is an expansion. There's so many expansions of Krishna. When we say expansion of Krishna, then they have the same power. But he expands into a form of a servant. We see that Balaram is always serving Krishna, but he is Krishna in a different form to serve. So that also exists. But the jivas are also serving in different ways, but that's a major service, so could be Balaram.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Jai Prabhu, thank you for your class. Hopefully you'll be able to stay much longer. You were mentioning a topic that a lot of people meditate on, dressing for success.
dressing for success.
Yeah, exactly. So we hear in the scriptures that there are two types of dressing. Dressing for success on the outside, right, means to wear a dhoti in Vaishnavism, a hijab in Islam, or a robe in Christianity. And dressing for success on the inside means Yasyasi Bhaktir Bhagavatiya Kinshana Sarve Gunais Tatra Samaste Suraha, to develop these qualities. So we see that in many institutions.
The qualities of the demigods.
Yeah, qualities. Humility, tolerance,
Samasate Suraha.
Samasate Suraha.
Suraha is the demigods. Specifically.
Yes. So we see that people in religious institutions, why do people leave religious institutions? You have your dhoti, you have your robe, but you're still doing so many demoniac things. And Jitendra Prabhu just read to us the other day where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was speaking that religious institutions, or the word ecclesiastical was used, basically, are some of the most atheistic institutions in the world, because that makes people more godless when they see people in religious institutions. They don't have these qualities. So what are some steps we could do to maintain our dress for success on the inside to make sure we stick in Krishna consciousness? Because it's very artificial. Anyone can, you know, put on a dhoti fashion and this and that, and then you're still not happy. And my question, right, another question is that a lot of times people are embarrassed when I don't have these qualities. I have so many, like, lust. I'm not going to openly admit to somebody I still struggling with demoniac qualities, so they feel very inadequate. So they're just going on artificially, not revealing that I have so thoughts. I can't rectify myself. I'm still miserable in Krishna consciousness. And, so what is a person to do when they feel people will judge them in religious institutions, so I'm still going on, you know, miserable in my Krishna consciousness? So what is this person to do in that, right, that mindset? So,
someone who wore a dhoti committed a murder, for instance, which is the topic of that new book, which does a disservice to the movement. But how many people are outside with pants and shirts committing murder? And then they don't say, well, it was a Christian murder. Or you heard this logic in the past. The guy who committed a murder is born in a Christian family or Muslim family. And then there's, yeah, Islamic fanaticism has become a big issue, because in the Quran it says that the, you know, non-believers should be killed. Now, I can't give you right now the exact quote, but it's there. And the history of Islam was conquering by force and forcing people to join the religion. So that, but still, people are not, most of the Muslims are secular, you know. They may pray and everything, but they're not, they don't want to impose it on other people by force. So religion got a bad name. Religion is forcing people by terror or by war or all kinds of irreligious actions to become so-called religious. Boy, you know, people dress in this, what you're wearing, dress because mostly all the people dress like that. That's all. Maybe it's a little warmer in the cold climate, but you can still wear a dhoti and survive. It's a question of adoption of Vedic civilization. Like, for instance, one devotee here, not one, but probably a few, are driving taxis. So I asked one of them, I said, that, can't you drive a taxi wearing a dhoti? Is it that people won't get in the taxi? She said, no, not like that. So then why don't you wear a dhoti? They don't want to. when a devotee is traveling in a bus or in a train or in a plane, is it a law that he can't wear a dhoti? But I do it. Oh, of course, when I go into Arabia, then I have a pajama, they call it. Here they say pajamas, but pajama kurta, you know, a kurta and a baggy pants that you call yogi pants or whatever. But otherwise, I go everywhere like this, and I don't, you know, people aren't beating up on me and because of what I wear. In fact, we met a group of Christian, like these people who came the other day, seminary students who were making their own private visit to a seminary in a gas station. And one of those girls had the mehndi, the hina, on her hand. And when she saw my wife, she became attracted. And we started talking, and actually we went to their church a couple weeks later. We attended half an hour of their service, which is all nonsense. I mean, that's another story. But, you know, we preach to them. So it's preaching. If you're dressed like this and they know you're from India. And because we're Vedic culture is from India. So we want to spread Vedic culture. So people, it's just a mental weakness. We're weak. That's all we can say. We are weak in different ways. So it's better to be humble, right? Amanina manadena chinadapi sunichena. We forget that. We think we're better. I'm better than you. But nobody's, who's better? And the one who's the topmost devotee is the one who feels himself the most fallen. Why? Well, fact is we're fallen. Fact is we're in the material world. We're struggling with the modes of nature. Until we get liberation. Oh, there are some Jivan Muktas, but it's an exception to the rule to be a Jivan Mukta. Exceptional case. So we have to practice. Why are we doing the deity worship, for example? It's practice for eternal service in the spiritual world. So deity worship is recommended by Vaishnava Sampradayas. We're following the Vaishnava Sampradayas. You cannot worship the deity with a stitched cloth. Anyone who goes on the altar is not supposed to have a stitched cloth. I'm trying to follow it in the morning. Some days I don't. Let me be frank. You know, I've been following, you know, I just have my chadar and my dhoti. But does that mean I'm a liberated soul? No. It's just a practice. Sadhana means practice. Chanting rounds to remember the names of Krishna is a practice. Right? So it's part of the what's said in the Gita, Udaret Atman Atmanam. You have to uplift your mind by your mind. So you have to convince yourself that wearing blue jeans is not going to help you spiritually. You have to convince yourself. Artificially imposing it, let's take him in the back room and beat the crap out of him until he wears a dhoti. It doesn't work. Right? I'm joking here, but we adopt Vedic culture because we're convinced that it came from the Supreme Lord. Nobody forced us. Nobody stuck out, you know, the sword of Islam, right? Nobody did that to us. And we understand the ideology. What is sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic? Now, the actual fruit, which is what happens to the atma after death, we won't know until we give up this body. We won't know. So how to know who's your father? Through your mother, the Vedas. Vedas are the mother. Only mother can say he's your father. Vedas tell us who is God. And God gives liberation. The guru tells you who is God, but Mukunda, one, the giver of liberation. That's Krishna. What is it? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. If we love him and worship him with affection, he will give the intelligence. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Sometimes he takes away intelligence even. He takes away wealth. According to Bhagavat, there's a verse, yasyaham anugrinami harishye tadhanam shanaihi. In a moment, I take those who I favor, I take away his wealth. Now, that may seem contradictory in the story of Sudama, who had no wealth and then he was given wealth. The explanation is that he, you know, used the wealth in the service of Krishna, or he was always thinking of Krishna, and Krishna blessed him. Just like Suchinam Srimatam. Why should being born in a rich family be a blessing? Why? It may be a curse in another way, because you become attached to luxury and an easy life. But it's considered a blessing because you don't have to worry about simple things. You'll be able to use your time to cultivate Krishna consciousness. If it's the right Srimatam, if it's the right family of wealth. Mostly we see wealthy people are materialistic. So how are they blessed? Well, it's a material blessing. But that material blessing may facilitate, and in the Vedic civilization it definitely did, religiosity. But here it doesn't. And because we don't consider the Western religions actual religiosity, because they're swimming in the mode of ignorance, because they're animal killers. They can't understand the higher spiritual truth. I ran over time, so I'm going to end here. Otherwise, Grunter, we can have private discussion on this. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Today the class was not successful because somebody was sleeping in the class. Because the idea is that the class should be so interesting that you cannot fall asleep. So there was some defect in what I said. Must have been. Haribol.